Hello and welcome to the Witness History podcast from the BBC World Service with me, Alex Last. That's right, we've added the word history to the programme's name to make it easier to find in search engines. And so to today's story. In this episode, we go back to 1961 and the story of a referendum in West Africa, which lies at the root of the violent conflict which has gripped the Anglophone regions of Cameroon.
In the 50s, people went about their business. There was no fear. Now the situation is chaotic.
Since 2016, the southwest corner of Cameroon has become the scene of a brutal, violent conflict. It began as a struggle over language and rights, identity and marginalisation.
Thousands joined a protest led by teachers and lawyers, angry at the imposition of the French language in schools and courts in the English-speaking parts of the country.
Months of protest against perceived discrimination suffered by English-speaking Cameroonians at the hands of the Francophone majority.
Our liberation. We want to be free from the Republic.
The state really cracked down on those protests. As protests turned into a rebellion.
Hundreds of people have been killed in violence between government forces and separatist Anglophone militants in the last couple of years.
But this conflict is also a consequence of a colonial settlement that is at the heart of this story. More than 100 years ago, Cameroon was a German colony. But after the First World War, it was split between France and Britain, and each nation brought with it its own language, law and traditions of colonial rule. 80% of the territory went to the French and became French Cameroon, while the British took two strips of land adjacent to its colony of Nigeria. These territories were called the British Cameroons, Northern and Southern. And it's the fate of Southern Cameroons that concerns us.
The territory has all the resources, the natural resources. Southern Cameroons was a wealthy country.
The historian Professor Verkajika Fanso was then a student in British Southern Cameroons.
Those in the forests were still doing their hunting. Those along the coast and the major rivers were doing their fishing. But the majority of the people were peasant farmers. They tilled the soil, they planted, they harvested.
In 1960, both Nigeria and French Cameroon got independence. So in 1961, the British Cameroons, caught between these two larger states, were given a referendum, a plebiscite to decide their fate.
But a bogus economic report was made about Southern Cameroons that it would be economically unable to maintain itself if it would become independent in its own right. And this was taken up at the United Nations, that only two questions would feature in the plebiscite: to vote to gain independence by joining the Federal Republic of Nigeria, or vote to gain independence by joining the Republic of Cameroon.
The Southern Cameroons were led by their premier, John Funcher, and he had done a deal with the French-backed leader of Cameroon, Amadou Ahidjo, that if united, the two countries would be a federation, preserving the autonomy of the old British territory.
And Funcher campaigned that unification would be of two equal states in that federation. Nothing would change very much in Southern Cameroons. We will still be running our affairs. And so many people believe that voting for unification was almost gaining that independence.
But joining the Cameroon Republic had its risks too. For a start, the country was in the midst of a civil war. Nationalist militants who had fought against French colonial rule continued to fight the government of the newly independent state, a government which, after all, had maintained very close ties to France. All this was used by the pro-Nigeria campaign as a reason to vote for them. And that campaign was led by the main opposition leader, EML Endele.
Endele was out with the slogans that going to French Cameroon was suicidal, that people were going to lose everything. The whole country will eventually become French.
One traditional leader, the Fon of Bafut, didn't think much of either option.
The Fon of Bafut said going to Nigeria was actually going to drown, and coming to French Cameroon was to be roasted in fire. So Southern Cameroons would not be better either way.
Yet despite the divisions, the referendum campaign was peaceful.
Oh, it was wonderful. Campaign was enthusiastic. Rallies were always full. People wanted to know because it was their future they were staking. People came out, no violence, and people explained things very clearly. I was then in a teacher training college, a student. Although I was far under age, they believed that those of us in the teacher training schools understood the issues. And so permission was given that the older children should be allowed to vote. And I was sneaked in among the older children, and I had the vote. Initially, I was for the independence of the territory, but since that third option was denied, I was feeling that it would be better off in Nigeria. And definitely, the majority of people would have voted to go to Nigeria, where they have similarities in everything, the colonial culture, the colonial education, the political system, the democratic nature of the country at the time. But there was one factor which deterred people from voting to go to Nigeria. It was what we call the Igbo factor in Nigeria.
Igbos were the third largest ethnic group in Nigeria and dominated the politics in the east of the country. And over the years, many Igbos had settled just over the border in southern British Cameroons. And the fear of Igbo domination became a prominent feature of the campaign.
The Igbo community in Cameroon was a very dynamic group. They were in every aspect of the economic life. They were occupying territory here and there, farms and farming. They were in the markets. They were controlling the stores. Majority of people said if they went to Nigeria, the Igbos now would have every right in their territory. It would be suicidal. So that is what scared people from voting to remain in Nigeria.
In February 1961, voters went to the polls. And old pictures show huge queues at the polling stations.
Many people turned up and the voting was peaceful. I can say it was something wonderful. No struggle, no fighting, nothing. There was no enmity, even between those who were for unification and those who were for integration.
The Northern Cameroons voted to join Nigeria and were integrated into the much larger country. The South voted to join the Republic of Cameroon and create a federation between the two states.
I accepted defeat. That was a democratic choice of the majority. And I was hoping that the future would be bright, like the majority of people thought, that we will be a country, a federal republic, that would be an example in Africa. A country with two official languages, English and French. A country with two systems, the French and the British, judiciary, education, land tenure system, the chieftaincy. All that were the promises, and it was people believed that it might actually turn out to be good in the unified Cameroon until things began to change.
Just a decade later, in 1972, Ahidjo, the president of Cameroon, decided to abolish the federation. And the former British territory just became part of Cameroon proper. And over the years, authoritarian rule, lack of development and loss of autonomy has led to protests in the former British-run region. And that's how we end up back at 2016.
Every time changes were taken against the English-speaking communities, people protested, but peacefully. Individuals, time and again, were arrested and locked up and imprisoned. So it got out of hand.
There have been widespread protests in English-speaking parts of Cameroon. Tens of thousands of demonstrators.
Violence escalated following protests by local communities that the authorities were
destroying. It says it has evidence that the soldiers have destroyed entire villages and tortured detainees. It
also Amnesty also lists atrocities committed by separatists. At least 40.
Now, in the former Southern Cameroons, the situation is chaotic. The government forces are looting everywhere. They are burning houses. My home has been destroyed in Kumbu. My wife and my family are all displaced. And killings are going on. That is the situation as it is. totally chaotic. Let us sit and talk and preserve our traditions, what we value in our two systems. Only dialogue will be the way out.
Professor Virkaji Kafanso, ending this edition of the Witness History Podcast with me, Alex Last. We have more than 1,000 episodes on all sorts of subjects, so do have a browse in our archive, and we have specially curated collections on our website. Just search online for BBC Witness History. That's all from me for now. Until the next time, thanks again for listening. Goodbye.